Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Oh, Joe Biden tells another tall tale about a family member that isn't true. Shocking. Boeing whistleblower says the entire fleet should be grounded. And the CEO of NPR hates the First Amendment. Shocking. Welcome back. It is our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thank you for being here. The big story of the hour brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com. Joe Biden talking about a story about his grandfather being shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals. This is a story he told today. It's not true. The story is not true. But nevertheless, here's Joe Biden. Take a listen.
Ambrose Finnegan, when they called him Uncle Bozy, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was, when Trump refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris, and he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
Now, that story's been debunked, but also what Joe Biden is talking about is also not true. So, first of all, he said it was his, he talks about his grandfather, and then he says Uncle Bozy. The Ambrose that crashed and is missing in action was Biden's uncle, Ambrose Jr. Biden's grandfather died in 1957 and is buried in Moscow, Pennsylvania, near Scranton. Ambrose Sr.'s obituary says Jr. died in aerial combat in World War II. So this is Michael Pelka sent me this, PacificRex.com. Second Lieutenant Ambrose J. Finnegan Jr. missing in action. And the story about this here, Joseph R. Biden Jr. is the nephew, so it's his uncle. There's I can't find any evidence here where they think he was eaten by cannibals in this. And I've read all this, and this is where, I mean, the comments today online are just amazing, but I've not been able to find anything about him being eaten by cannibals. But the fact that Joe Biden starts saying it's his grandfather, but then they call him his uncle. I mean, how freaking, like, how much, like, this guy has no idea where the hell he is at any time. So I'm reading this story and I'm trying to find where the cannibals might have eaten his uncle, and I can't find it here. I'm looking at all these different stories, and also it's not his grandfather. And that's Joe Biden for you right there. Just play it one more time for him. One more time, if you could, Matt, please. Thank you.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea.
Cannibals. So he's a stew, Uncle Bozy stew. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like. And he related the story about the man he called Uncle Bozy at a separate event and getting emotional and talking. And then he talked about his son Bo dying and tried to connect Bo's death to military service in Iraq. But of course, Bo died of cancer in 2015. I have not seen a single story that alleges that cannibals actually ate his uncle. Have you found anything about this? But uncle eaten by cannibals?
No, I don't even know how you would ever come up with that.
But how would you know your uncle was eaten to death by cannibals? Is my point. Like, how would you even know this?
I guess you would have to find bones and then ask people near the bones what happened to the rest of them. Like, oh, we ate them.
Yeah, like somebody, there's a cookbook about him now. We got Uncle Bozy fettuccine. Uncle Bozy Parmesan was big in New Guinea.
You can buy the cookbook on Amazon, of course.
Yeah, there are a lot of cannibals down there eating my uncle. They ate him up. They shot liver and some Chianti and fava beans, like Hannibal Lecter. The hell is he talking about? There are a lot of cannibals down there in New Guinea. If I'm in Papua New Guinea right now, I'm pissed. I mean, the president of the United States just called me a cannibal. I'm really upset by that right now. Accusing me of eating his uncle. That's just flat out rude, if you ask me.
How's that clip real? I've listened to it a half dozen times now, and I can't figure out. I can't figure out how it actually exists.
One more time, just to make sure we're all not crazy and I'm not in a coma. All right, one more time. Go ahead.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
We think he was eaten by cannibals in World War II.
It wasn't enough to explain how his uncle's a war hero. He has to, like, amplify it further by making up the cannibal line.
By the cannibal part, yeah. And you know what? You know what really tipped it off? I just went on Amazon. There's the Uncle Bozy cookbook. Apparently, the cannibals also wrote a cookbook about how to do. Not, it's always, what do you do with the feet? You know what I mean?
Some good bone broth in there. I'm sure.
Like a nice bone broth. It's very healthy bone broth. Don't doubt me. No joke, folks. Poor Uncle Bozy eaten by cannibals. Now, if I'm a descendant of one of those cannibals right now, I'm thinking to myself, man, I want to tell my story about how my dad or my uncle ate the president's uncle. Like, wouldn't you be rushing? If I'm a reporter, am I not going to Papua New Guinea tonight? If we had a budget, I'm on the first flight to Papua New Guinea so I can find somebody, anybody, that may have eaten Joe Biden's uncle. Wouldn't you love to get that exclusive story?
I'd love to have that reporter on the show.
Right, exactly. Like, hey, we found, you know, John here. John, so you're saying your uncle ate Joe Biden's uncle. That's right. We heard all the stories about how tasty Uncle Bozy was. Grew up hearing those stories.
Be a great State of the Union address guest.
Yeah, I want to recognize in the back there is John from Papua New Guinea. His uncle ate my uncle, which makes us cousins.
Nibbling on Hunter Biden or something.
Well, they have to have a mask on him, like Lecter. I mean, obviously, he's got to wear, you know, because, I mean, he's a cannibal, but, you know. Yeah, like, and his uncle, think about it, he didn't even need a lot of salt because, you know, he's Irish, so he didn't taste good. We had to put a ton of salt on him. to give them any taste whatsoever. Irish food just has no flavor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to sit next to the cannibal at the State of the Union address. That speech is long. People get hungry.
People get hungry. Need a snack. That guy might have he may be hangry at some point. You got to give him a Snickers. He just eats your whole hand while you're trying to hand him a Snickers. Boeing whistleblower, I got to get to this. Boeing whistleblower says the entire 787 fleet should be grounded. This is pretty amazing. His name is Sam Salapour. Well, first of all, let's hear a little bit from the NBC Nightly News report. This is a big deal. Cut 14.
Boeing 787 Dreamliner has been flying since 2011, made of a lightweight composite material and stronger than a typical aluminum fuselage. But a current Boeing quality engineer has told the FAA he believes the plane has a potentially fatal flaw.
I think it's as serious as I have ever seen in my lifetime.
15-year Boeing veteran Sam Salapour will tell Congress Wednesday that the gaps between big pieces of the fuselage are too big. And even though they're fastened together, the stress could create fatigue failure in the fuselage after thousands of flights.
What would happen if you had a fatigue failure in a 787 at altitude?
The plane will fall apart at the joints where we're talking about. Once you fall apart, you're going to descend all the way to the ground.
You think the plane could literally break apart in air?
Absolutely.
But Boeing tells NBC News we are fully confident in the 787 Dreamliner because of the comprehensive work done to ensure the quality and long-term safety of the aircraft. These claims about the structural integrity of the 787 are inaccurate. These issues do not present any safety concerns. In 2020, Boeing worked with the FAA to tighten paper-thin gaps, pausing plane deliveries for 2 years, stress testing the plane to 165,000 takeoffs and landings, more than three times a typical 787.
Let me just for the sake of time here, too. This whistleblower testified today on Capitol Hill, and Senator Josh Hawley asked him, and what he said was that he was threatened and intimidated into silence here. This is a very big deal. Take a listen.
Are these planes safe?
Right now, I would not. You know, it's like an earthquake. You know, the big earthquake is coming, but when that hits the building that, you know, you, let's say if you're talking of a building, have to be prepared to accommodate that type of a, let's say, shakeup. You know, it has to be built properly. Right now, from what I've seen, the airplanes are not being built per spec and per requirement.
So your testimony is the 787 line and the 777. The 777 line are not safe.
They are doing stuff that increases the risk factors. Okay, when you increase the risk factors, you know, it's not just one. You are doing stress concentrations. That those stress concentrations, like, you know, breaking a paper clip, you know, you do it once or twice, it doesn't break, but it breaks at some time. As the plane gets older, you know, all of these things that, you know, you took. You know, you said it's not a safety issue. It becomes a safety issue.
And the company's response to you was to threaten you?
Threaten you, sideline you, you know, transfer you.
You raised concerns about the 787, and so they transferred you to the 777, right?
Well, yes. Initially, they just cut me off of all the meetings. Ah. They took my name out. And then so I was just doing nothing. I wasn't informed of what. Then they transferred me. And they do it pretty stealthy. Oh, we have a job over here. We want you to go over there. So they move you down there. And, you know, I come from like 40 years of engineering background. So when I see, and I've taken a lot of stress classes, even though I'm not a specialist on that. But when there's a problematic area that you see, you can recognize.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. All right. We got a lot more to get into. Great interview. I'm very excited to talk to an economist about Joe Biden's economy and then just how absolutely terrible it is and why Hispanic voters are choosing Donald Trump. So we're going to do that next. Plus, the craziest protesters you've yet to hear, all straight ahead in our fourth and final hour. But I got to tell you about my friends at Emmons, because when it comes to your bathroom, is it getting a little outdated when friends come over? Are you just a little bit embarrassed to let them use the bathroom? Well, if you are, it's time to let Emmons Design Specialists design a bathroom that you will love and one that Emmons will redo in as little as 3 days with custom designs that cater to your unique tastes. Imagine an affordable, maintenance-free bathroom with little to no inconvenience to you and your family in only 3 days. That's incredible. Only 3 days. And Emmons has finance options available. Having your bathroom renovated not only brings comfort and quality of life to your family, it is one of the best investments you can make in your home to improve its value. Don't wait for a bathroom that is a blend of luxury and functionality and one that is truly yours. Call Emmons today. I just had Matt and Stephanie over the house for dinner Friday night. They're great friends of mine, and they are honest, and they will do a great job for you, and you will love your new bathroom. They renovated our bathroom in our old house, and they're going to renovate the bathroom in our new house for us, too, in only 3 days' time. 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Or visit their website at callemmons.com. It's callemmons.com. Let the Emmons team create your perfect bathroom sanctuary while adding real value to your home. That's 856-885-6677. And tell them I sent you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, joining me now, very happy to welcome to the show, Alfredo Ortiz. He is president and CEO at Job Creators Network, and he joins me now in Philadelphia. Hello, Alfredo. How you doing?
Hey, Rich. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing really well. I appreciate you making the time today. Obviously, you know, I'm in Philadelphia. Pennsylvania is ground zero for the 2024 election. Joe Biden was in his fake hometown of Scranton yesterday, speaking about the economy, yelling how he wants to raise taxes on rich people. And at the time, of course, you know, Donald Trump is stuck in a courtroom in New York City, not able to be on the campaign trail, which is just completely unfair in its own right. But tell us about just how bad Bidenomics really is.
Well, it really is horrible. And good old Scranton Joe there that says, you know, he can, you know, barely make a living, supposedly, you know, when they made almost $700,000, him and Jill, by the way, and only paid about a 23% tax rate, which is about half of what I paid. So just FYI to that one, Rich. Go figure, right?
Right, yeah.
But
who's his accountant, Alfredo? Can we get that guy or what?
I know exactly, right? I mean, what's I got to fire mine and hire his, I'm telling you. But, you know, Bidenomics sucks. I mean, bottom line, and I think every average American would tell you the same thing. I mean, gas is up 40%. Groceries are up almost 40%. Rent is, like, skyrocketing. I think it's up, you know, roughly, last number I saw, almost 22%. Credit card debt is a record high, $1.3 trillion, with credit card rates being almost 30%. And you got mortgage rates have almost tripled since Trump was in office to almost 8%. I mean, and real wages are down. So bottom line, you get screwed under Bidenomics.
Now, I know your background in business, and you worked in the food industry a lot. And my wife also used to work in the food industry, actually. She used to work for Campbell's Soup years ago. I think food is probably the thing that is causing the most anxiety out there. I mean, I went shopping today. I do the shopping in our house. You know, I love to shop. I love to cook. And I'm always amazed at the grocery store. But I try to pay attention to the reactions of people as they're checking out. And nobody, and I mean nobody in the store, just kind of checks out and doesn't shake their head. Everybody winds up looking at that receipt and shaking their head like they just can't believe. It's like, what did I buy? A car here? What is this? And I think that is the biggest issue right now is the food inflation that everybody's dealing with.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right, Rich. I mean, you know, I went the other day, I wanted a turkey sandwich, right? I didn't have any turkey. So I went to my grocery store, which not a fancy grocery store. I'm a good old, you know, Kroger. And I went to the deli and it was $15 a pound for turkey. I mean, I'm just like $15 a pound. I can't even make myself a turkey sandwich anymore, Rich.
You used to be able to get a whole turkey for $15.
I know. It's
I mean,
ridiculous.
Not that long ago. I'm not joking. I mean, for Thanksgiving, you get a turkey for under $20. It wasn't that long ago when Trump was president. I remember spending that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I wanted to buy ketchup too because, you know, I'm planning my whole meal, right? So hot dog for dinner later. And ketchup was almost $9 for a bottle of ketchup. I mean, people can't afford this, right? And the thing is that, you know, people have to understand, and I think most people understand, that this all started when Biden took office and when he declared war on domestic energy and he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline, right? It really, really changed everything because everything requires energy. Everything requires oil in some way, shape, or form, right? Whether it's transportation, whether it's the plastic that's used to, you know, actually hold the product that's sold in. I mean, everything requires energy, and all of that is going up because of our issues with domestic energy now.
Alfredo, you wrote a piece recently. I should also mention as well, in addition to running the Job Creators Network, you also wrote a book called The Real Race Revolutionaries, How Minority Entrepreneurship Can Overcome America's Racial and Economic Divides. I'll ask you about that in a minute, but you wrote a piece just very recently, April 15th, mm-hmm. Hispanics will determine the 2024 election. The nation's fastest growing ethnic group accounts for 15% of eligible voters. And I see that Trump is leading in that demographic in the polls, which is fantastic. I mean, that was a group that used to be a reliable demographic for Democrats.
Right.
So what's happening? What is this change all about?
Well, you know, if we remember in the last election, Trump had about 38% of the Hispanic vote, a little bit shy of kind of the high water mark, which was under George W., about 40%. And now we're seeing he's pulling out about 46%, Trump is, right? So which is fantastic, right? But the one thing I always tell Republicans, first of all, is that just because you're polling well with a particular group doesn't mean that they're going to the polls, right? Or that they're going to do early voting. So, first of all, the Republican Party needs to make sure that they still put together the compelling case to go to the polls and to vote Republican, right? So that's the most important thing to be said. But look, at the end of the day, Hispanics worry about pretty much the same things you and I do. When we go to the grocery store, when we go to the, you know, gasoline and pump gas in our cars, I mean, they are the ones that are really also feeling this as well, right? So they're seeing the difference between a Trump administration and a Biden administration, right? And the Trump administration, things were actually pretty darn good, especially for our Hispanic entrepreneurs, right? But overall, I mean, gas was down, right? So people could afford to go to their jobs. Groceries were down, so people could actually afford the food. Rents were down, right? Mortgages were down, so they could actually buy a house. Did you know that Hispanic home ownership under Trump was the highest it's ever been? I mean, look, Hispanics were doing pretty well. And the Democrats, frankly, are really pushing, I think, Hispanics away from the Democrat Party through all their ridiculous policies that they have in place. I mean, this isn't only the president, you know, here. We're talking the entire Democratic agenda is a failed policy agenda. I mean, from city councils to mayors to school boards to governors, right, to the cabinet, all the way to the president, it's a failed agenda all the way down.
Alfredo Ortiz, President and CEO of the Job Creators Network. I have to ask you about the student loan thing, because I know that when the Supreme Court struck it down, your organization, Job Creators Network, put out a statement saying, you know, good job, Supreme Court. You did the right thing here. When Biden now, what he's doing, which is to defy the Supreme Court and handing out this quote unquote repayment, which is just means it's shuffling the money to you and I have to pay for it. Right. And this is a bribe to these voters, as I look at it. It's a bribe. And this yep. is really frustrating for the economy. And it's just, I mean, you talk about being a dictator. This guy is just saying to the Supreme Court, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Well, you know, we actually challenged that, you know, the entire $450 yeah. billion, the original one, we challenged it in the courts. We're the ones that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And so us and the AG, so winning that was truly important. We actually won the Texas case that actually stopped the money from flowing out, because I'm not sure a lot of people know this, but literally he was 24 hours away from hitting the button that said, go, $450 billion, gone, right? So we stopped that 24 hours beforehand. So now seeing $150 billion, right, that he's forgiven despite the ruling of the Supreme Court. And by the way, people don't remember this, but Congress has spoken on this. On a bipartisan basis, they send a bill to the president that says you can't do this unless Congress approves it, and he vetoed it. So a total dictator.
Well, congratulations on winning that case. I think it's outstanding that you guys were behind that, and that's a real big win. Tell us about your book, Minority Entrepreneurship. I mean, as far as I can tell, there's when Trump was president, I mean, he was all about entrepreneurship, you know, get rich and take risks, and people felt that way. And it seems as if when Joe Biden unleashed the IRS on people, and $600 yep. deposits in banks, and said, you know, we're going to hire yeah. all these IRS agents to just go after millionaires and billionaires who aren't paying their taxes. And they're now going after the middle class and the working class and people that are trying to just get by. It seems as if this administration is hostile to people that are trying to create businesses and create jobs.
100% correct. We say this is truly, Biden has declared since day one, the war on small business. And I tell you why. I think I have figured this out, because small business represent everything that they hate, that the Democrats hate, right? It's the antithesis of what they first of all, don't believe that you should be created. They think the government really needs to be controlling your life and managing your life, right, from beginning to end. They don't like free enterprise. They don't like entrepreneurship, right, again, because they think the government should really manage that. They think that they really know best what to do with your money, right? That's why they want to tax you more and tax you more, and they'll decide how best to spend it. Right. Versus us giving it, you know, give us more money. Let us keep more of our hard earned money so we can decide what to do, whether it's a charity, whether it's whatever we want to do with it, or invest back in our businesses as entrepreneurs. Right. This is just the antithesis. You know, they love big business. Right. Because they can control big business. And I always say that, you know, they're kind of in cahoots, right? And small businesses, they can't corral them. They can't control them.
Great
so
point.
They're just going to put them out of business.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, you know, that is such a great point, because I don't think people realize that. I mean, for the Democrats, it's all about control, controlling every aspect of our lives. There's nothing that they right. don't want to control except abortion. You know, that's a whole other topic for another day. But everything else, they want to control every aspect of it. And I never really thought about it that way, that these small businesses represent challenges to their ability to control everything. I mean, I think about Elizabeth Warren, for example, who wants to have these, you know, unilateral laws applied across the board for everybody. At the same time, she decries big businesses, and they try to stop anytime there's a merger of any kind. But at the same time, they also create policies that are hostile to small businesses. And I never actually made that connection, Alfredo. So that's a really important point you just made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We actually have been working with senators to push through. It's right now, it's current legislation being considered. It's called the Prove It Act. which will be a game changer. I'm telling you, a game changer for small businesses here, because for the first time, basically, small businesses will effectively be, I'm not quite say exempted from a lot of these policies that they try to apply, kind of a one-size-fits-all. Remember Dodd-Frank? I'm not sure if you remember Dodd-Frank.
I do, yeah.
When the whole banking thing went down, right, they applied this Dodd-Frank rule. It pretty much killed thousands of community banks and made the big banks bigger, right? And so it's going to avoid things like that from happening again, because these agencies are basically going to have to prove, right, that there's no damage going to be done to these small businesses. And it can't just be a little waiver that gets signed off. They actually have to prove that, right? And if they can't, then the small business is going to be exempted from that. This is a major game changer for small businesses, and we're working hard to try to make sure that it gets passed.
JobCreatorsNetwork.com. JobCreatorsNetwork.com. Last question for you, Alfredo Ortiz, before I let you go. What impact does the border situation have on Hispanic voters and voters in general? I mean, people that have jobs and businesses. What effect do we see from this invasion that's going on at the southern border and how that translates this November?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and so I like answering it this way, right? There's really two issues related to the border. There's the immigration issue, which I'm going to kind of set aside for now because I think that's another topic. We'll put that in there with abortion, and we'll chat again another day.
That sounds good.
But it's the porous border, which allows the criminality to come into our country, right? Impacts Hispanic and non-Hispanic communities, and we're seeing this across the country, right? But I'll tell you that it's really impacting the Hispanic communities because, you know, these MS-13 gangs, guess where they end up? They're not ending up in, you know, Orange County, California, right? They're ending up in these communities that are Hispanic communities because they're basically hiding in there, right? Mm-hmm. And so they don't want this criminality to come in there because it's ruining their communities, it's ruining their cities, it's ruining their small businesses. And so it's as big of a deal, really, for Hispanics, I think, as it is for non-Hispanics, right? And so, and then when you think about, you know, the drug trafficking overall, when you think about the gun trafficking, the human trafficking, right? These are all things that are impacting our entire country. And I actually think that this is the bigger issue as opposed to the immigration issue, if I'm making sense.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And I agree with you. I think the immigration issue and border security are two separate things. One deals with processing people who want to be in this country legally, and the other deals with a national security imperative, which is the southern border. And what bothers me is that too often in Washington, they try to conflate the two, and they're
yep.
separate and distinct.
Right.
And until we deal with the border security aspect of this and the national security implications of that, we can't have the other conversation, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, 100% correct. We have to deal with border security. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a really deep cut, or, you know, something happens to you and you have a big gash in your leg, right? You're supposed to put a tourniquet on first, right? So that you don't bleed to death, right? So you got to stop the bleeding. It's kind of the same thing. We got to put a tourniquet on that border so we can stop the bleeding, and then we can fix the patient, right? Then we can deal with the patient. But we have to have that border security. And by the way, Joe Biden does have the absolute authority right now today to actually do what he needs to do with the border, but he refuses to do it.
Tell you, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, Alfredo Ortiz. I hope you come back on the show soon. I've enjoyed this very, very much. JobCreatorsNetwork.com, and check out his book. It's on Amazon.com. It is The Real Race Revolutionaries, How Minority Entrepreneurship Can Overcome America's Racial and Economic Divides. Thank you, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, as we continue along our fourth and final hour before I turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin, thanks for being here today. Appreciate it very, very much. We've covered the impeachment. We've covered all kinds of things. Uncle Bozy Stew, we've covered all of it. But I have to cover some lunatic protesters. This has been a week of lunatic protesters. And I meant to get to this earlier, but I just forgot. But now I'm going to do it now. And this is a pro-Palestinian student. So they disrupted a celebratory dinner party for some 60 students at a private home at a University of California, Berkeley professor's home. Erwin Chemerinsky is the law school dean. He hosted the dinner on Tuesday night in the backyard of his Oakland, California home. And it was supposed to be a community building event open to all third year law students with no speeches, no formal activities. But a third year law student and a Palestinian activist by the name of Malak Afana stood up at the event holding a microphone and launched into a speech. So she starts to talk, and the guy who owns the house, his private house, and he's a noted constitutional scholar, starts shouting, "Get out of here. This is our private house." But these people don't care. I mean, this is squatting meets protesting. This is what happens when squatting and protesting form and have a baby, I guess. And you have this lunatic. Cut 13.
Hello, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace and blessings upon you all. Tonight, we are gathered here in the name of commemorating our final few weeks as law students.
This is my house.
Tonight is also the last night of the holy month of Ramadan, where millions of Muslims around the world fast.
We have attorneys.
Okay, you don't have to get aggressive.
You are guests at our house.
By the way, let me just stop it for a second, Matt DeSantis. First of all, I want to do this whenever my in-laws come over. Can I do that and say, you're a guest in my house, get out? Would that work out well for me? You're a guest. Get out. Leave. Leave our house. You're guests in our house. And how rude is that? You come over and you start making political speeches, and I bet you she didn't even bring anything. Nothing irritates me more than when people drop into your house for dinner and they don't bring at least a bottle of wine. What's the minimum standard you think when you go to somebody's house for dinner? Bottle of wine? It's got to be at least a bottle of wine, right? At least. And people call up. They go, "What can I bring?" And I never answer the question. Because the answer should always be wine. It shouldn't be a salad. Nobody needs you to bring a salad or a dessert. But we need you to bring a bottle of wine. And then we also don't need you to stand up and do political speeches. And again, I'm old school like this, where somebody invites you over to dinner at your house, you just bring a bottle of wine and you sit there and you have pleasant conversation, and you don't turn the event into a grandstanding pro-Palestinian protest. All right, let's keep going.
Lawyers Guild has informed this is our First Amendment, right? And they are aware of this. They're not wrong.
This is my house.
This is my house, and you're no longer welcome here.
Police. You are not welcome.
Okay, you can call the police.
No, I don't.
You can call the police. I'm getting a
speech. Please stop touching her.
Just please leave. If you don't want to be here, leave my house.
Stop manhandling our students.
Please leave my house if you don't want to be here. This is
you are not invited for this purpose.
I encourage everyone.
It is incredibly rude of you to abuse our hospitality in this way.
I didn't even bring an appetizer. And you double dipped. You people. I'm telling you, Matt DeSantis, these are the rudest people. They come in, they don't bring wine, they didn't bring an appetizer, and they double dipped. The student claims she's assaulted at the end of it. We still got a little bit more of this to go. I'm just thinking, though, I mean, how frustrating is this? And I guess in one sense, I'll say UC Berkeley, you reap what you sow, right? Because you've been a hotbed of nuttery and leftist activism for decades. You kind of reap what you sow, where these people now don't believe in private property rights. So they come in, they go, "Well, this isn't your home. We have a right to be here. And the First Amendment gives us the right to come into your private home and essentially now squat and protest at the same time." This mindset, which has taken over the country, which is that private property rights, they don't really exist. All right, let's keep going.
Then don't come here.
You haven't done anything about divestment.
Please leave my house.
You haven't done anything about divestment.
I don't invest in anything. I'm not going to argue with you. This is a party.
The law school has not invested in anything. The Council on the Merit of Islamic Relations, SF, will be hearing how you pulled a Muslim woman's scarf during Ramadan. Putting your hands on my hijab is unacceptable. By grabbing my arm, you will hear from KRSF. You will hear from Cal Legal. And the fact that your wife was able to assault a Muslim Palestinian hijabi student is not great.
Please leave our house now!
She grabbed the scarf. Relax, lady. It's a scarf. Please leave our house now. I mean, this is so frustrating. And do we know what ultimately happened? Did the police ever come? Probably nothing happened. In fact, as they walked out, they came back in and they grabbed the dish. They grabbed it was a pumpernickel bread that somebody left, and they ran out of the house with it. Little Seinfeld reference for you right there. This leftist activist named Riddhi Patel, who was born and raised in Bakersfield, according to one of her online biographies, stood up to urge the city council to endorse a ceasefire in Gaza. Now, as you may know, Gaza is many thousands of miles away from Bakersfield. And the city council in Bakersfield, California, has precisely no ability to influence the government of Israel or any other country for that matter. Nonetheless, she ultimately threatened the city council, telling them she'd come to their houses. Well, take a listen.
Hi there. My name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the city council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front.
Sounds like a lovely, very nice
young lady. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people, but the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you. And so there's no need to continue. In the last 5 years I've attended city council meetings, there's never been metal detectors. There's never been more cops. The only reason you're doing it is because people actually don't care if you guys don't like them. And they're actually resisting, so you want to criminalize them. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die. And for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors? We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
Next speaker, please.
Okay, then. See, I would have had a different reaction if it were me on the dais. Then next speaker, please. I would have had a different reaction than that. When see you in your home and murder you, I'd be like, all right, great. Come by around 10:30 tonight. I'll be sitting on the front porch with my shotgun. Come by. Say hello. Well, it's California, though. I'd wind up going to prison. I just think they ultimately did arrest her for making threats. So that's why she instantly regretted it. I thought it was fun that she brought out the guillotine, right? Brought out the guillotine. Like, we should get the guillotine and behead all of you people. But the funny thing about it is, just start the clip for me over, Matt, if you could. Because honestly, she gets to the podium. She sounds lovely. She sounds so lovely. And then immediately it goes into this very, very dark place of her wanting to kill each and every one of the people up on the dais. So we talk about getting tricked here a little bit.
Hi there. My name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the city council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings.
It's like, what a way to win over hearts and minds, huh? Hey, let me tell you why I'm here. Not that I think you'll do anything about it, because you all are horrible human beings who should be beheaded, and I'm going to come to your home and murder you later. But let me give you the reasons, my logical reasonings. Logos, ethos, and pathos. I feel like one of those is missing right there. Also, sanity. Well, that concludes today's version of Nuttery. Well, I'm sure we'll have more for you tomorrow. We don't have any other nutbag cuts, do we, today? But I will say, Bill Maher said earlier that the United States has now crossed the Rubicon, and he slammed that Dearborn, Michigan Death to America rally. The left has gotten mad at me, he said, for many, many years. But the reality is, we are in a very, very different place. All right, we'll continue tomorrow. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Hey, please keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli, RichZeoli. Thanks for all your nice feedback from my fill-in host last night, my fill-in host duties for the great one, Mark Levin. I had a lot of fun last night, and thank you for listening. Don't forget, Friday, May 3rd, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Mark your calendar. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great live show, and you don't want to miss it. It's coming up in a couple weeks. Friday, May 3rd. It's 2 weeks from this Friday, as a matter of fact. So make your plans now, and I will be back with you tomorrow at 3 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Thank you.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly!